Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. Here Paul writes, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And for this reason, I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that what I have committed unto Him until that day." Sure is good to see everyone here this morning. And this morning, there's something I'd like for us to consider that everyone experiences in some form or another. And that is the issue of suffering. There are many people that suffer in many different ways. For example, right now we have some that are suffering physically. There are some that may be suffering emotionally. There are some that are suffering spiritually. But you know, I learned recently that a lot of us are suffering because our favorite team recently lost. In some form or fashion, we may have different teams that also have lost it. You can say it's painful. It's sad. It's a rough time that we go through. And many times we think, well, I'm all alone. I'm by myself. Surely there is no one that knows exactly what I am going through. But today I'm here to tell you that there is someone that knows. Someone that has been there. Someone that has done that. In fact, that's someone we all ought to know very, very well. Because He was willing to suffer for you and for me. His name is Jesus. When we read throughout the New Testament, we find that Jesus was, in all parts, tempted as we are. Yet, without sin. We know that Jesus became in appearance just like a man. He had to undergo the temptations of this life. There were many that tried to get Him to do something that Jesus knew that He should not do. In fact, there were some that even accused Him of blasphemy. When you go to the Gospel of Matthew, there and read chapter 9, you'll find that on one occasion, just like many others, Jesus said and did things that no one else could do. In fact, as people were listening to Him, they began to realize there is something different about Him. In Matthew chapter 9, there was a paralytic that was brought to Jesus. And in verse 2, Jesus said to him, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." But in verse 3, at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," then He said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. Imagine the number of times in which Jesus truly was the Son of God, but people did not believe. People did not accept. They said things about Him. They did things to Him. And yet Jesus endured it all. In fact, it kept building and building until even the point in which Jesus was willing to lay down his very life for you and for me. We can only imagine the way that people spat upon him, that people beat him, that people stripped him of his clothes and put on a crown of thorns, and on and on and on that we could go, thinking about the wicked things that people did to our Lord and Savior. But yet, for some reason, Jesus was willing to allow this to happen. God had a plan for you and for me. Here in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 24, Jesus begins to give a little hint about the necessary of this suffering. In Luke chapter 24, there, beginning in verse 46, Jesus said, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the third day from the dead, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." You see, there were some that witnessed Jesus did suffer. And he said, "Just as what you have seen, just as what you have heard me undergo, it was necessary." And when you wonder, why was it necessary for Jesus to do this, you look at the impact that it had on the entire mankind. The impact it had on you and on me. We learn that Jesus was undergoing the suffering. He was willing to die because of our sins. The Bible teaches us that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, from Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. And something had to be done so that our sins could be taken away, that we could be reconciled unto God. That's why we need to preach repentance and remission of sins, to show the gift of Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, and what we need to do for him. You see, this is something that needs to be witnessed. As Jesus said, there were some that had witnessed. Peter was one to admit he was a witness. In the book of 1 Peter in chapter 5, and there in verse 1, Peter says, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed." Peter said, "I am a witness of the sufferings of Christ. I spent a lot of time with him. I know the things that people did to him. But yet, I know there was a reason that he did these things." He says, "I also may be a partaker of the glory that will be revealed." Peter knew that something good was going to come out of these things. In fact, didn't that what Paul tell us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28? When he says that we know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and to those that are the called according to his purpose. Suffering may not seem very good. In fact, many times it is very painful. But there is good that will come as a result. And yes, we learn that even in the New Testament. The book of Hebrews teaches us that salvation comes through the suffering in which Christ endured. Yes, salvation was made perfect through our suffering. When you think about if Christ didn't suffer, what would have happened to you and to me? What if Christ was not willing to undergo the death on the cross? What if he was not willing to shed his sinless blood? Well, you see, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. That's why it was necessary for Christ, and because of that sacrifice, we have the opportunity to save our eternal soul. You see, that is why the message of the gospel must be preached. That's why Jesus commanded his disciples to go into all the world and to preach the gospel of Christ. And sometimes when we do exactly what Christ commands us to do, yes, we will suffer many ways and persecution. We may not see it right now, and we may not think, well, this is nothing compared to what the early Christians did many, many years ago, or perhaps what others are doing in other parts of the world as they are standing up for God. But we know, especially through the Apostle Paul, that he endured a lot of suffering. In our text that we read a little while ago, there in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 8, notice that Paul reminded Timothy, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." Why would Paul want Timothy to share in his sufferings for the gospel if he did not suffer himself? You see, later in verse 12, he said, "For this reason I also suffered these things. But nevertheless," he said, "I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him until that day." Christ endured suffering. And Paul says he also suffered, and therefore was encouraging anyone and everyone to share with him in those suffering. If God is able to take care of Jesus, if he is able to raise him from the dead, and if we too keep all things unto him, what is he able to do for us? Well, not long ago we talked about how Paul was delivered from many things. And God certainly will deliver us. He's told us that he is willing to take care of us, to bless us, provided we do what he has called us to do. No, it was never easy for the Apostle Paul. In fact, in that book of Acts, that ninth chapter, when we read about the light from heaven blinding Saul of Tarsus, as he was known then, the words that said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" We hear how the Lord was suffering by what others were doing to him. But yet, in return, he knew that he was going to suffer as well. Because later in verse 15, the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." He said there are many things that he must suffer. We know guaranteed being a Christian means, yes, I am going to suffer. In some form or fashion, there is something that I must undergo. But what would my attitude be toward that? Would I say I'm not willing to accept it? I'm not willing to undergo any form of suffering? Or rather, would I say, you know, the Lord has warned me, prepared me, I am going to suffer. And what can I do when that situation arises? I think Paul's attitude in the letter of Philippians gives us a good idea. There in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, Paul says, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." Notice he said it has been granted. And sometimes we hear the phrase, will we take something for granted? Do we ever stop to think that, you know, it actually was allowed for us to happen? Maybe instead of saying, well, this is bad, this is an opportunity. There is something good that can come from this. And earlier here in Philippians chapter 1, that was Paul's attitude. He talks about the things that happened to him as he preached the gospel. But he says in verse 18, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice." Yes, and will rejoice. Notice the attitude. He says, "I am rejoicing because regardless of what happens to me, others are hearing about the gospel of Christ." A positive attitude, because he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. In fact, Paul even told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 4, "For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and you know." We told you it was going to happen because it was. In fact, it also is. And he even told Timothy later in 2 Timothy chapter 3, there in verse 12, he says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Not only will Paul endure suffering, but he says, "You and I, we all will suffer, just as Christ did." And when you put those two together, Christ suffered because he did the will of God, Christians suffer for doing the will of God, you can see a very strong bond. You can see a strong relationship. You can see fellowship that we have in suffering. Paul described it this way. He told the Philippians in chapter 3 and in verse 10, "I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Paul says if Christ was willing to undergo suffering, yes, I am too. I can share that in common with him. Now, it may not be something necessarily we want, we would desire, but you can see how it brings us closer together. And isn't that part of being a Christian? To draw closer and closer unto God and with Christ? Well, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, here in verse 12, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." You see, Peter is looking ahead, knowing that as Christ suffered, and we too are partaking of the suffering of Christ, he said, when the glory is revealed, we may be glad with exceeding joy. You think because, yes, we will be receiving that glory also? Absolutely. When we look at Christ and what he went through, what happened when it was all said and done? Well, he was risen from the dead. He appeared to many. He promised that he would return. And yes, he promised that we have a home in heaven with him. All we have to do is what he says, even if it means undergoing suffering. Does that not give you reason to rejoice? Just as Paul says he rejoiced in sufferings? Well, I certainly hope so. We find in Paul's letter to the Colossians in chapter 1, there in verse 24, he says, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church." In Paul's suffering, he says, "I rejoice, because there are things that are lacking, and they may be filled up." On other occasions, Paul said to supply what is lacking. But he did it for the sake of the body, for the church. Does the church indeed suffer persecution? Absolutely. When you think of over the years how Satan has targeted the Lord's church, there are things in which he tried to do to get them to turn from God. But yet the Lord's church is still strong, still carrying out the work that God has called us to do. And we think about how the church began on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and how they were persecuted. Yet the next few chapters tell us how the word grew and multiplied. For some reason, the church is still intact, even though they were suffering persecution. A few chapters in Acts chapter 5, we're told in verse 41 that they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Yes, the Lord's apostles were willing to suffer shame for his name. But in fact, they rejoiced. They knew that it was a great opportunity that the word of God would be shared. Are we taking advantage of that opportunity today? Are we too concerned about the suffering that we have? Are we worried what might happen to us? Well, sometimes if we let our worries and our cares bring us down, remember that we are not alone. There is someone somewhere that is suffering from the same thing. In fact, we hear stories of those that have suffered before. Many times you can go to a library or do research online and read about someone that has gone through something you have and have written all about it. And all you have to do is read how they were inspired, how they were encouraged. Well, one common group of people that many times suffered are the prophets. Think about the very ones that God sent out to proclaim His Word. Sometimes it was received well, sometimes it was not. James tells us about them in chapter 5 and in verse 10. He says, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience." You see, the Lord's prophets were patient. They underwent whatever suffering might befall them. And many times I think about the Old Testament prophets, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, I think about Isaiah, Hosea, Daniel, and others that were tried, others that were tested. But yet they were very patient. They were willing to undergo the suffering that came upon them because they suffered for a good purpose. They suffered in doing the will of God, even as Paul said, they knew who was able to keep them until that very day. Yes, when we are willing to suffer for the cause of Christ, don't you think that God would be pleased? Don't you think He would be reassured knowing, yes, brother and sister, you are standing up for me? Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, there in verse 19, "For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." You see, when we undergo the persecutions, we find God is well pleased. Are you willing to stand up for something? Are you willing to patiently undergo? Well, if you say that, "I'm not sure if I can, I'm a little bit weak," think about others that are willing to encourage you. Think about others that have been there, others that have done that, and others that want you to succeed. Because what you do also has an impact on everyone else. As Christians, we all share together. In the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, Paul talks about how that being the body of Christ, We may be different members individually one from another, but yet we're all connected by Christ who is the head. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You see, when I suffer, you suffer. And when you suffer, I suffer. But on the other hand, if you are honored, I rejoice. If I am honored, you rejoice. You see, just as Christians have fellowship with Christ, we also have fellowship one with another. We're all part of a team, working together, striving to get to heaven, and helping as many people as we can get there. And so, when we think about how we all share together in the suffering, also keep in mind that we share together in consolation. We can comfort one another. We can look especially to God for comfort. And remember the words that Paul gave to the Corinthians. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, he says, you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are not coming short. In fact, we are eagerly awaiting the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says also in his second letter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 5, so as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so also our consolation abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is also for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will be partakers of the consolation. Yes, as we partake of suffering, we also partake of consolation. We partake of the bad things together. We also will partake of the good things. And sometimes it is hard for us to see the good things, don't we? Because our glasses cloud them out. We're too focusing on what is going right on, right here and right now, that we fail to see what will be the end result. But you see, God sees it, and at some point, He wants us to see it as well. That's why even Peter was very encouraging for Christians. In 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, he said, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. Though when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. You see, if I do good, that's better than suffering for doing evil, because God knows that. He knows that I am being faithful unto Him. And yes, He will reward me accordingly. In Peter's next chapter, in 1 Peter chapter 4, there in verse 16, he says, if anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. You know, I was thinking earlier this morning as we were reading about Moses complaining how people were very upset. They weren't upset at him. They were upset, really, with themselves, because they didn't do what God said to do, not with what Moses said to do. And as Peter says here, we glorify God in this matter. When we suffer, it's not about us, it's because we're doing what God wants us to do. And that's why later in verse 19, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls unto Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. You see, God has been very, very faithful to us. And yes, we are instructed to be very, very faithful unto Him. And sometimes that means we're going to suffer. And when we think about what we have to go through, let's be encouraged that what we're about to go through is nothing compared to what's going to happen later on. What's going to happen later on will be much better. Listen to how the New Testament writers referred to this. First of all, in 1 Peter chapter 1, there in verse 11, Peter says, searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Let's think about that. The sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Well, the things that Christ suffered was pretty rough, wasn't it? In fact, very brutal. It led to his death and his blood being shed. But what about the glory that would follow? What about Christ being risen from the dead? What of Christ returning to heaven to be with his heavenly Father until the time appointed to come and get you and me and those that have obtained like precious faith? There's no comparison, is there? It was all worth the things that he suffered. And that's why Paul even told the Romans in chapter 8 in verse 17. He says that if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Notice the glory that was revealed in Christ, and as Christians following him, even though we might suffer, this compares in no way to the glory that will be revealed in us. Paul also told the Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, back in verse 4, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. You see, by suffering, I am counted worthy of the kingdom of God. God has already prepared a place for us, and if we do what he says, we'll be preparing ourselves that we too can be where he is. Are we willing then to endure suffering? I believe this morning we need to make a choice. A choice that we must make every day of our lives. Do I choose to endure suffering and do what God says for me to do? Or am I going to give that up? Am I willing to choose the other things of this world? You know, there was one man that had to make a choice. And I believe the Bible says he made the right choice. In Hebrews chapter 11. There and in verse 24, we're told about Moses. And yes, Moses was faced with the same decision. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24, the Bible says that by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Fellow Christians, we have a reward to look forward to. And we need to count that as greater than the things that we might receive in this life. You see, the things that we receive in this life are only temporary. They'll give us pleasure for a little while, but this world does not last forever, does it? But instead, if we are willing to suffer for the cause of Christ, we will receive that reward. And remember, you are not alone. While we suffer now together, it is nothing compared to the glory that will follow. This morning we're about to sing a song to encourage you. If there is one that is suffering and needs the prayers of the church, the encouragement from fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, we're willing to help you in any way we can. If you need to respond to the invitation and be obedient to the gospel of Christ, you suffered in sin long enough and we're time to help you to get out, we want to help. If you need to respond, won't you do so as together we stand and sing.